Well, my name is Steve Cotter. I am from Wichita, Kansas, and I'm the Director of Emergency Medical Services in Sedgwick County, Kansas, which covers the greater metro Wichita area. And originally from South Carolina, actually. Spent the majority of my career in an urban system in South Carolina. Have done some tactical medicine, done some special operations medicine, and have flown on a helicopter. So I've been a medic both on the ground and in the air. One of the things that really interests me that I don't think we do a good job at in terms of formative training for paramedics is airway management in certain respects. I've seen that time and time again, both in the current service that I work in, with how we manage airways that maybe we shouldn't really be managing in the first place, i.e., do you really know that you should be attempting to intubate this person, or is there an apt way to ventilate this person without intubating them in a more secure manner that still brings a positive outcome for them. You know, one of the things we talk about very intently in our service is, do you really understand the physiology of the airway that you're working with, i.e., can you grade the airway? Do you understand a Mallampati score? Do you understand the structure physically of somebody when you look at them from across the room to determine how difficult of an airway that you might be dealing with should you have to work with them? And what are your alternatives for working in that environment? You know, example for me on the helicopter, when I was flying in South Carolina, the very last patient that we flew was a gunshot patient. And she was a very large woman, actually to the limits of the helicopter, and needed to be intubated. And we knew immediately that we were going to have great difficulty with this person in working with her to get her intubated, but we were at the far south of our flight zone. It was about a 25 to 30 minute flight back to the tertiary facility, so we knew we faced a real risk with her if we didn't work with her, but we knew immediately that it was going to be difficult. And she presented some very real problems for us that I think medics need to pay attention to whenever they're working in the field, particularly around RSI, because RSI is so controversial in this day and age, and a lot of systems are going away from it. In that, not only was she big, not only that was she compromised by virtue of the fact that she had been shot, and that she had a compromised hemodynamic state anyway, that she quickly decompensated when we would attempt to intubate her. You know, first we knew that we had a very, very bad airway to deal with and that she was large. She had a very small oral opening, very interior, short neck, very difficult to do anything with to assure that we could get proper positioning to intubate the person. And on top of that, any time that you would attempt to intubate her, she would, within about 10 seconds, become bradycardic all the way down to almost 40 and drop her O2 sats down to about 70 or below within about 10 to 15 seconds. So it was very important that we communicate as a team in that as I was performing the intubation, my partner was reading out the heart rate and the O2 sat to me so that I could always have it in the back of my mind. Heart rate at 90, heart rate at 70, SpO2 at 95, and so on, so that I could have it in my mind that there was going to become a point in time where we needed to pull back out and reventilate her to get her reoxygenated and stabilized so that we could continue the process. But in looking at that also, actually, one of the things I don't think we think about and teach very well is that we teach a very straightforward process with regard to how we manage an airway. This is an adult, so it must have an adult blade. No, actually, we intubated this person with the largest pediatric blade and handle that I could use, and it was very difficult intubation because her oral opening was so small that when you use an adult blade, you couldn't see past the blade to see the structures of the airway to know that you were in the right place. So not only did we have very great difficulty in working with her physiologically, we had great difficulty in working with her functionally from how we applied the equipment to her airway. So it was very important that as you intubate and work with people's airways, understand that it's basic to most advanced. For us, even on the helicopter, an advanced airway procedure like that's a last resort. We ought to be able to handle an airway more aptly using basic procedures and then work up to that advanced procedure when you absolutely need it. But as you work in that progression, understand that you need options. You understand that it may very well an adult take a pediatric blade to intubate an adult, even though they are a large adult. It may very well take a smaller ET tube to intubate that person, as it did with this lady, because she also had a very small glottic opening, believe it or not. She was as bad as you could get. And that you need options and that you have to have good teamwork and good communication skills as you work through these processes, because that's where we often find ourselves in trouble, is that we don't have an alternate plan and we don't communicate with one another so that we know the condition of our patient as we move through the process. So that's been a very telling lesson for me, and it's one that we teach to our crews all the time. A, know your equipment. B, know your patient. Know what you're looking at in your patient. How difficult are they going to be? C, know whether you should really be trying or whether you need to manage it in an alternate way.
And what happened to the woman? Did she make
it? Yeah, actually she had a good outcome. We ultimately got her intubated, and it took us about 30 minutes to get back to the hospital, and she went to trauma services surgery and spent about 5 days in the hospital and had a good recovery.
Great. Cool.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSResponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.